This is the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Jason Goff. I'm joined by Rob Schaefer, Casey Johnson, and Tony Gill. Coming up on the show, we'll discuss the night after the Minnesota Timberwolves game and the Zach celebration at the United Center and how it felt without the fans and what the Minnesota Timberwolves are, what Zach LaVine is hoping to be, and how you should treat this team going forward.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
This is the earliest we've ever done a podcast?
Probably. There's a man.
Oh, what's up, fellas?
Pre- and post-game host, Jason Goff.
Yeah, right? For today, at least, you know. How y'all feeling?
I'm a little tired today, but otherwise I'm good.
Bro, man, I don't know what's going on.
Wait till they play 37 and 61 or whatever it is. Oh, my God.
Hey, the NBA and the world is like, oh, you wanna stay home for work, huh? Okay. We have a captive audience. Let's make sure they do twice the work. NBA, that's 37 games in 60 days. It's fucking nuts. Like, oh, well. There he is.
What's up?
What's up, brother?
Chilling. How about you?
Oh, man. Any better would be illegal.
I believe you.
Yeah, y'all, please understand that. I'm not lying to you. And all right, Tony, go run off to the other more important podcast. Well, we got it from here, boss man. Tony, man, I can't believe Tony hit us with that. I'll be multitasking. Can you believe what's happening to Tony Gill right in front of these podcast listeners' ears, right?
Multitasking.
I'll be multitasking. Asking, not hey guys, I'm gonna be in and out. I'll jump down with you when I can. You know I rock with you. I'm surprised he didn't hit us with like a TY at the end, you know, like the unnecessary management thank you.
Best regards or something like that. Right. Sincerely, yeah.
Best regards.
Right. I love the unnecessary management thank you. Like, hey guys, this is what'll be happening today. Thank you. Like, what? I didn't, what are you thanking me for? You just gave me a directive, but whatever. All right, let's get it popping, man. So we're recording, by the way, for everybody that's listening on whatever beautiful Friday zone, whether it's you're in the afternoon, if you listen at night, if you listen in the morning, we appreciate you no matter what. But we're recording early on a Thursday morning, shortly after the Bulls get themselves a dub against those pesky Minnesota Timberwolves. And small picture, big picture, Zach LaVine, all-star berth, and all of – dude – I'm sitting there watching it, Casey and Rob, with Kendall Gill. And immediately we both had the same feeling, like, damn, it'd be cool if it was some fans in here. And it's the, like, there's been two or three times so far this season. And, you know, even in the bubble where I was like championship clinching. I was like, oh, then I was like, oh, yeah, you know, like. They got to do it by themselves. You know, you can't have the whole city rocking with you or whatever the case may be. And last night, and we don't get a lot of nights over the last few years as Bulls fans, Bulls observers, Bulls beat reporters, Bulls coverers, whatever you want to call it. We don't get a lot of nights where, you know, the event is big enough to be encompassed by the fans, right? Like some of the best times of my life, and I'm not even going to front, not professional or personal, just my life, period, was that Derrick Rose run where you were pulling up to the UC and you knew a show was about to go down and you had the reactions, right? Because that's when I was Mr., you know, Section 115, can't cheer, you know? So you're sitting there and you're watching it and you're covering it, whatever, and you just, everybody's cheering for you, right? Everybody's having the same reaction that the fan you would have because you still love basketball, but I got to go down there and ask these dudes some questions. And so I can't be out here like, oh, yay. You know what I mean? So and there's moments like that during the Rose run where it seemed like it was every other night. And then you had the playoffs and then against Miami and all those things. And over the last few years, there hasn't been that because there hasn't been meaningful basketball or meaningful moments in Chicago Bulls basketball. And last night was one of those times where, and I know they're a 500 team. For all of this is the other thing, too. For all the people that think that you have to constantly say something to kind of couch how you're feeling, knock that shit off, man. We got a bad habit in sports where we're constantly trying to prove how objective we are. And whether you're a fan or a beat, like, I understand that you understand the context and the nuance of the conversation. So let's just have the conversation. Last night was one of those nights where I was like, man, it would have been super cool if some fans were in the stands. And you kind of take it for granted. You know, before I guess we started recording, we were talking about some of the things that we've taken for granted after this pandemic has really set in on us, you know. And that's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, no fans. Those dudes are going out there and play ball. But last night was one of those moments where, you know, you've got the digital confetti going on the Jumbotron and you've got the zoom in of Zach LaVine and Chandler Hutchinson couldn't move out the way to get the shot right for NBC Sports Chicago. But shout out to Chandler. I hope he's feeling better. But yeah, that was it last night, KC and Rob. I felt like a sappy old dope. I'm sitting there like, oh, ain't no fans in here. That kind of sucks. And we haven't had a lot of those moments over the last few years because it just hasn't felt successful. It hasn't been successful. But last night was that moment for me.
Well, two things to your point. Pretty amazing timing because I've a good friend of mine has been a season ticket holder since the 70s. Think about that for a second. Wow. And he texted me this morning unsolicited and said, I wish I could have been there last night. So there you go. Right on it, man. And then also, as far as your objectivity point, I actually tweeted during the game last night when the Celtics loss became official. If the Bulls hang on here, the Bulls go to the sixth seed. And yes, that means we're scoreboard watching in late February, which is what happens when you cover the last three seasons. So, yeah, I mean, even reporters, come on, man, let us have a moment. We've watched some really bad basketball the last three seasons. And yes, the Bulls are 15 and 16. We're not going to Grant Park, but they're in the sixth seed right now. And yes, it could get more difficult in the second half of that schedule because that second half of that schedule is pretty darn difficult. However, the Bulls are a relevant, competent, decent basketball team right now. Right. So let's celebrate that for a second, or at least watch it for a second. You know what I'm saying?
Or KC, just treat it like that. Like yeah. Everybody's still in the, I still hate them for what they did to me. Yeah. I can dig it. Trust me, I can dig it. But like I said at the beginning of the season, you're out of a bad relationship. Stop trying to repair the bad past relationship and maybe kind of enjoy this one and see it for what it is. Uh-oh, I'm getting a little too philosophical here, so I'm going to pass it on to my man Rob Schaefer before I get myself in trouble.
Yeah, well, I had the same thought about the Zach lineup introduction last night. I've had a couple – I wasn't at the game last night, but the games that I have been to, I've had a couple moments like that where it just feels eerie that they're doing all the same kind of in-game entertainment stuff without – fans there. But as kind of hollow as that moment was compared to what it probably should have been, I think the encouraging thing about the dynamic of that you're talking about with the fan base and that, you know, maybe we should be a little bit, you know, more kind of wrapped up in the moment of how relevant this team is now. I mean, they got two nationally televised games in the second half of the schedule. Like, that's not insignificant either. They had one in the first half. They had one last year. I believe they had one the year before that. Like, that is showing you some incremental steps there. The refreshing thing, dynamic though, is that the team isn't really acting like they've done anything yet. This mantra from Billy Donovan, pretty much after every game, win or lose, of listen, like we've definitely made strides. And when you know KC has talked about a lot on this podcast how utterly demoralizing the first two games of the season were. When you think about where they've come from that point to now, and certainly from last year to now, it feels like it's been a long kind of trip to get here. But at the end of the day, they're still halfway through the season. They're in the sixth seed, but it's a clump of teams in there. I mean, positioning is getting changed and shuffled around every day. But this team clearly has its sights set on the playoffs. I mean, when you talk to the players, like Wendell Carter Jr. said it last night, that's really like the primary goal of his career right now, obviously for Zach. You could go down the line. And I mean, they just have a very level-headed approach to it where it's, yeah, we've come a long way, but we have not reached the standard. That's a quote straight from Billy Donovan, or the potential of where this team can be. So I think fans can certainly afford to soak it up a little bit more. The players probably can't and aren't, and that's a good thing. And we'll see where it goes from here. I just think it's an interesting dynamic as we come into the closing of the first half of the season. The trade deadline has obviously been a huge topic of discussion, but the way they're playing right now and the way that they've bought into what Billy Donovan is selling and the way that this team is playing and gelling right now, it's honestly a wave that I almost feel like you have to ride out for the developmental reasons, for the sentimental reasons, and all the things that that go into that. So it's certainly a fun dynamic. I mean, it's the most fun stretch of Bulls basketball I've certainly seen since covering the team. I haven't been around here long, but you know, when you think of a 15-16 record, it's kind of unbelievable that, like you said, Jason, we're talking about it like this, but everything's relative, right? Anybody listening to this podcast, anybody that we're talking with knows the recent history of this team, and 15-16 in the sixth seed halfway through the season, you know, however truncated the season is, however much the schedule is shaken up, that's significant. So it really should be treated as such, at least by the us media types and fan types that can afford to do that.
And real quick, we got Rob's got a nice piece on our website at NBCSportsChicago.com capturing kind of the essence of what he's talking about with not being satisfied. And it comes from, in what my estimation is, one of Billy Donovan, if not his best, one of the best post-game media sessions he's had this season. I thought he was absolutely phenomenal last night because he was he's, you know, we're just getting to know this guy too. What he's really good at that I've figured out so far is he's really good at complimenting and propping players up while still demanding more from them and challenging them.
Yes.
He holds them to a high standard, but he does so in a way that's not punitive and that's not demoralizing. He just lays it out and says, you know what? And it's almost like he's, with his words, he's putting his arm around you, but with his actions, he's saying, get up here and do better. And I thought he did an amazing job of complimenting how they came back in that overtime following a demoralizing finish to regulation while still pointing out, we weren't very good, guys. And the reason I'm saying that is because we can be better. It's kind of like what Jason, how you always almost seem like to have to couch yourself when you're talking about like Kobe White or something. You're saying to people like, I'm not hating on Kobe White. It's because I think this guy can get up to here. Yes. And so Billy is doing that same thing. And you can tell the players are just lapping it up, man. I mean, obviously the winning cures all. We all know that cliche in sports, and it's true. And, you know, there's going to be a hard time. There's going to be a adverse stretch in the second half. There's zero, there's 100% guarantee that there will be an adverse stretch in the second half of the season, but you can just tell that the buy-in quotient is incredibly high right now. And I think just Billy his touch right now is pretty masterful from where I sit.
And the thing is, just quickly on this, this is not to say that the players didn't have the same mentality last year. Because I could even tell, I remember kind of scurrying around that locker room searching, you know, in the dog days of February and early March last year when they were, you know, losing a bunch of games and there wasn't much, you know, to get engaged with from a fan perspective, frankly, about this team. And I remember kind of looking for those silver lining, you know, quote unquote, moral victory, which is a rotten, you know, phrase and nobody, you know, nobody was using that. But looking for those kind of bright spots in the kind of darkness that was last season. And even then, like, you know, Kobe has a 20-25 point game and a loss. Like, he was never too high on himself individually for that because the team success wasn't there. And I think there was probably just a subtle feeling that like the whole direction of the rebuild and the franchise was kind of rudderless towards the second half of last season because you knew that the front office change was coming. We didn't know how much it was going to be. There was all this uncertainty. So this team and Zach, obviously he talked to us every night after every loss last season. And it's not like he was satisfied because he was having the best season of his career to that point. And you can go down the line with that. So this is something that this specific group of players, which is basically the same as last year, it was clear from last year that this is a type of leadership style that they were kind of thirsting for and that they would respond to. It just has to come from a person like Billy Donovan with that kind of culture setter, winning culture setter reputation that's going to be able
to take it and walk that balance in the right way, like you said, Casey, between empowering and challenging. And, you know, it certainly doesn't hurt that it's translating to wins. I mean, Thad said that yesterday after shoot around. I think it was yesterday as we're taping this, that, you know, winning cures all in terms of his own, how he's feeling physically, how he's feeling workload wise, and everything like that. So that's clearly a dynamic this year, but it's not as if they weren't ready for this all along. It just had to be shepherded along a little bit more. And for a young team, you're just really seeing the dividends of that pay off in real time, almost exponentially.
Yeah. And this is the other part too. For me, the good guys can be treated like tough guys and turned into professionals. Like we think of, and I mean, let's keep it funky. We've watched this team get punched in the face and not respond the last couple of years. When they got down, all of a sudden, and it's not on some toughness, I'm gonna fight you, I'm gonna punk you thing. It's on some, we're down, I have to make the best play. I have to make the 10-point shot right now. And then it turns into a bad possession or a turnover or something of that nature. But they're all, I won't say all, but they seem like they're good professional standard kind of guys where they're not going to rock the boat. They're not going to, you know, tear up your locker room. But sometimes when you treat those guys like the tough guys you want them to be, to me, that's what Billy Donovan is doing. How good are you? You're telling me you're good. Prove it to me. Because that's what the real tough guys do. Because then you get it ingrained in your DNA that, okay, in these moments, the tough situation, the tough guy stands up in this situation and makes the right pass or makes the right read or doesn't feel like, okay, I haven't touched the ball in 3 or 4 possessions and we're down 10. Maybe that's the reason why we're down 10. Now I'm going to shoot the next 2 shots, even if I'm covered and the ball needs to find the open man. Like that's how the good guys turn into killers. I mean, let's be honest, like, you know, a guy like Patrick Williams, a guy like Coby White, a guy like Wendell Carter Jr., a guy like, you know, Zach LaVine, these are all big school dudes. And we, you know, in this city, we've decried like, oh, you're going out and getting the 3-year, 4-year guy who's been at the big school and look what it's got us. Well, you can actually go out and get the guy who's been at that big school, who is a really good player, and also implement some of those things that he's learned along the way to get to that big school and then turn him into a tough guy. Like these last few games, to me, the toughness is in when you should lose to a team that's worse than you, that's playing their asses off. And then you're like, wow, how did that happen? They've eked out 2 wins that not eked out because the Houston game was a laugher, but that even that game, Billy Donovan was mad about the turnovers that got that thing too close for his comfort. Like, it's not about just winning the game anymore and go, whoo, thank God we won that one because of our talent. It's you shouldn't be happy that this thing was even in this situation. Like, me and Kendall over the last week or so, like, making a joke, like, all right, it's time to ice your knees. There's no reason that you're up 13 or something like that against a team like the Timberwolves, or you're up against the Timberwolves who have a good young core of players. But just guess what? You're a young core of players who thinks you're better than them. You played better than them in spurts, and now close them on out. You know, Zach LaVine shouldn't have to play the last 3 minutes of a fourth quarter. And I understand these are the growth processes that need to take place, right? They're a 500 team. We're not talking about one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the East. But at the same time, if you want to become that, you're going to have to start to treat these games like that as much as you treat the Lakers and the Clippers games. Like, if raising that level of competition shouldn't ever have to happen. I think that's what we've been hearing over the last couple of weeks. We've seen Billy Donovan get in their ass and then all of a sudden they respond, or we've seen one of the guys on the bench have to get in their ass and then they respond. The real toughness is the moment you step on that court, yeah, I act like I'm the best player on the court, or I act like we're the better team on the court. But even when we get into a little bit of adversity, that's when we truly have to show it. And I feel like that's when you'll start to see the switch. And Billy Donovan is trying to do it. Like in those first weeks, the first week when the losses were crazy, he was like, hey guys, you know, I know this ain't looking like what it's supposed to look like, but these my guys, we're going to work on it. And then in these last couple of wins, when they've played shitty in stretches, let's be real. He's like, yo, I still remember when we played shitty. So this post game ain't going to be about this win. It's going to be about what we need to do to become a better team. And I appreciate that. Like post game to me, him talking, you know, we get the Zach dunks, we get Pat Williams, you know, he'll show us that wild play, Wendell Carter Jr.'s, you know, progression. Like, there are things throughout the game that I enjoy watching so much. Of course, Zach is the whole show, an entire show. But when he talks, like that's when I'm kind of fulfilled as a basketball fan as well, because I'm trying to figure out if what I saw in those moments and how should I treat this team? He's telling fans and this team itself how to treat this team. Oh no, there's no more baby. And there's a 19 and 20 year old in the starting lineup, by the way. But yeah, you played up to these expectations. This is what it is. I remember, guys, and I'll wrap it up here and we can move on to the next segment. But I remember trying to tell my mother as a child that a C in honors and advanced placement classes was like an A in the regular classes. So she should appreciate it. And the things that came out of my mother's mouth, it was phenomenal that a child could be talked to that way. And I got it. And I got it. She said to me some words that I'm not going to say on this pod, but she said to me, yo, you showed me what it is. Don't bring that bullshit in here. You know, take that somewhere else. I love you, but bring another C in here from that class and you won't get an A reward. You know what I'm saying? Like you won't get treated like you got an A. And that's what's happening now. The standard is the standard, as Mike Tomlin and unfortunately Joe Cowley says. You know, so let's treat it as such. Shout out to you, Joe. I got you too, by the way. You out here telling on me on the media. You know, the media situation when we were with Zach. I couldn't turn my Zoom off, by the way, ladies. I couldn't turn my mute off on the Zoom, and I had a real old guy moment in front of everybody that I'm never around in that media session. And Joe couldn't wait to run to Twitter and take it there. You know, stop treating me like your sources, Joe. All right. But yeah, man, treat this damn team like they're supposed to be treated. Treat them like Billy Donovan treats them. It's as simple as that. And that's for all the people who talk about this team. That's for all the people who program this team. That's for all the people who promote this team. Treat them like the head coach. And let's face it, the general manager and the president of basketball operations are probably treated. What about Arturis Karnišovas makes you feel like he's not, you know, sending this down the pipeline? Mediocrity won't be accepted. I'm not going to get fired because of y'all. It's as simple as that. It's a results-based business. So while we celebrate these moments and have fun, listen to the dude who's talking to you about the team. He's talking to you about – Zach LaVine is talking like a person who understands that this ain't enough. This ain't good enough because it's not great. And if we run around acting like we're great, then we got to be great at some point. So this is the start of it. The great habits start to get set in now. So for everybody on Twitter who's, oh, 36 wins, that's a fail. I got a guy in my Twitter mentions today, fellas, talking about 36 wins. That's a fail. That's what you're celebrating. Do you understand what this team was last year? That's like me looking at my four-year-old saying, no geometry yet. Get the hell out of my house. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we talking about here? But I digress, because then I get to, you know, it's either I'm banging on him too much, Casey and Rob, or it's, man, golf has really changed since he started working for the Bulls. I love that part too. But come on, man, treat this team like the coach treats them. You know, have your fun with them, but also understand what it is. And listen, I know the fans that are out there that do that, that listen to this podcast. There are a lot of them out there. But sometimes we get swayed in either direction. Listen to, and I'm not just pumping up the post game, but wait till Billy Donovan jumps up on that Zoom. He'll tell you exactly how you should feel. There's not a lot of bullshit in that man, and I appreciate him. And I don't know. You know, people who have covered him before could probably, you know, attest to something different or the same, whatever the case may be. But every game, I kind of get validated in how I felt about the game when I listen to him talk. And it's as simple as that. Treat this team like he's telling you to treat them. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. And again, the players too, because after a game like last night, Kobe told us there's a moment in the locker room where Thad gets up and kind of talks to the team and says, hey, listen, like that was great, but that's a team we should have closed out well before we did. Like that game shouldn't even sniff overtime. Zach said that him, Thad and Garrett Temple were, you know, he basically just reiterated that they were upset kind of with the process to get to the result, even though the result is good. Now, a bad win is better than a good loss, right? And this team had a lot of good losses, quote unquote, at the start of the season, that West Coast trip. And you can treat those, you know, for what they are objectively. So it's, you know, no one's going to quibble with the result. But when you say treat the team how Billy Donovan treats them, like treat them how they treat themselves too, because they're holding themselves, or at least trying to this standard that Billy has set. And, you know, we'll see if they can get to it. But it's another point just in how crucial the vets are to this team. And then again, how crucial the trickle down of Billy Donovan's philosophy, the accountability and all that kind of stuff. It's clearly seeping into kind of every corner of that roster, and people are rising up to kind of meet that wave. What is it? A rising tide, like lifts all boats or something like that.
Raises all ships.
Raises all ships.
You don't nail that until you are 30 with back problems, Rob. So you won't nail that saying until you're a little bit older. You and Tony you'll get the other ones like YOLO and all the other things the kids say. But that one, you got to have back problems and issues and stress on your life first.
Oh boy. transition. I had something I wanted to ask you guys. What did you guys think of Anthony Edwards last night?
Man,
he's a bad man, man.
Listen, I was in love when I watched him at Georgia, because the first game I saw him, I think it was a Vanderbilt game, and immediately I was like, oh, he doesn't give a shit. Like he knows how good he is, and he's just waiting for everyone else to, like, on this level, he's just waiting for everybody to understand that he's the best player on that team. Even though there's like a multiple time all-star and the number one pick from a few years ago on that team with him. But that dude is built like a man. He moves like a man, and he's 19 years old. Like, I hope Anthony, I saw Isaiah Ryder the moment I saw him play. Like, there's going to be wreckage in the league for a good 5 or 6 years. And I just hope Ant and his people can keep Ant on the right track, because I love watching that dude play. The Watanabe dunk was like, yeah, that's one of the best in-game dunks of all time, by the way. That's like a top 15, top 20 dunk of all time. But, dude, when Cat went out, and it was his time. There's moments where it's like, oh yeah, that's a 19-year-old. Don't get me wrong, but like, even with him going at Zach and him the double push off on Zach, like next year, 2 years from now, he's gonna understand. He doesn't have to extend his, like, the little things. He doesn't have to extend so hard. But when he did it, I looked at Kendall and we both smiled, and I was like, I'm not mad at that. Like, it was an offensive foul, but I'm like, that he's got that shit. Like, he's got that something about him. Like, you know, when the star walks in the room, right? Like when the dude who got all the ladies in high school walks in the room and kind of like sucks the air out of the room. Every time I watch him, and even his post games, his post game zooms are hilarious. Like, everybody is posting them now. You see what happened with the dude with the Irish accent?
So,
like,
funny.
He's
so funny.
He doesn't understand how, I think he does though, but he is super dope. Like, I think he's going to become one of my favorite players in the league. And you guys already know the kind of dude that I rock with. Ant Edwards.
This is going to turn into your favorite draft class of all time, from Pat Will really to Halliburton.
Yeah,
what a comeback.
Like, James Wiseman, I mean, hopefully he's having his issues of not having a feel for the game, right?
And he missed some time.
Yeah, and he missed some time. But, dude, this, you know, one through what, 6, 7? We're talking about, I mean, even down to Tyrese. Like, we're talking about some dudes in this draft. And
what was quickly late in the first round. I mean, obviously, LaMelo has been just outstanding. I mean, now we're going down a rabbit hole, but I couldn't believe.
That's what it's for, Rob. This is a basketball rabbit hole, brother, especially when we do it early in the morning.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe looking at his line after the game. I couldn't believe Ant was 7-20, because it just felt like every big shot or every big moment that Minnesota had when they were kind of pushing back, that he was a part of it. He snapped Garrett Temple's ankles at one point too. At a point, I think he missed the shot, but it was at a point where that game could have gone from 4-1. That might have been an overtime. Man, just the way that he carries himself, he is really fun to watch. And the athleticism, like. He's just the way that he's beating guys off the dribble, and they're kind of running them off curls too to get him advantages. He was scary. Like, if I'm a Bulls fan watching that, like, every time he had the ball in his hands, I was scared that he was gonna do something that was gonna shift the paradigm of the game.
And you could tell he was all-star hunting too. Like, in those moments,
he went at Zach, I think, the first two or three possessions of the game. Yeah.
The moment Zach was on him, he was like, "Hey, I heard." congrats, but come out here and try to get this work. So I appreciate it. Casey, you've seen that Minnesota situation, and we talked about it a little bit on the post game, but, you know, and then we'll move on. How do you guys feel about that Minnesota situation and the going and hiring a coach off another bench, which is like, I don't know that I knew it had happened before, and maybe it has, but I when I saw it, I was like, wait, what? Like, how can you, this dude has been firmly entrenched and fully entrenched in another organization's situation and their personnel and their scheme. And because that's your man, you just go get him. Like, and listen, he's got his bona fides in the NBA, no doubt about it, Chris Finch. But I'm sitting there like, that's kind of weird. Like, has it happened before? I still haven't done the research on it because I'm lazy, but has that happened before?
Yeah, there was a list recently. Rob, you remember it off the top of your head? Yeah, I think the last one was 09.
Dan Feldman of NBC Sports National had it. It's happened a couple times. Not much this century, though. Interesting.
Former Bulls assistant Bernie Bickerstaff was one of the ones who made this jump. So there you go. And you know, the only reason why it wasn't as weird, it was weird, but and it doesn't happen very often, but the Rosas Finch connection from Houston is why it makes so much sense, you know. Yeah. So but
I know why it was done. That's his boy.
I read a line that I think sums it up perfectly. It's like, most in-season coaching changes remind you that they should have just happened in the off-season. I mean, it's like, especially you had a long off-season to do this. You know, there was rumors that, you know, that he might make a coach that he might make a coaching change last off-season. So,
and he was Chris was a finalist for the Indiana job, I think, right?
He interviewed for this job for
the Bulls.
For the Timberwolves job.
Yeah.
Vanderpool. Vanderpool interviewed for the Bulls job, though. Was that the
connection?
Yeah.
I think Finch was rumored to be on the Bulls list, but I'm not sure that they ever got to him.
Yeah, they got some interesting things going on in Minnesota, though. I think Jared Vanderbilt is going to be a nice piece. I like McDaniels. I hadn't seen him a lot, and I liked the way he moved out there. Obviously, you know, super young player, so he's getting the feel for it. D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns are marvelously talented players. I just, you know, there's some guys who just, you know, for whatever reason, they are really, really good. I don't think that I have to worry about watching them play real basketball anytime soon.
If they could have that trade back and still have their first round pick this year, I'd feel a lot better about where they were at. The Golden State trade, that is.
I personally
would, but they have some nice pieces. McDaniels I like too. He's been a fun league pass watch. Those are just the guys that you bet on, the highly ranked high school dudes. If you can get them late in the first round, and you know, his first college season was up and down, but he's a really intriguing defensive prospect, especially.
We are driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, we gotta wish some people some birthdays today. Well, when you're hearing this, it'll be the day after. So happy belated birthday, because we're taping on your birthday, but people will be listening to it after your birthday. So KC, the resident Bulls historian, because on the text chat today, you know, young Tony Gill just only knew about Joakim's birthday, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, Grandpappy KC came swooping in and say, hey, you mean Jerry Reinsdorf's birthday? And then, and the late great Tex Winter. So happy birthday to Joakim. Happy birthday to Jerry Reinsdorf. And you know, we can, there's never a bad time to celebrate as a Bulls fan to celebrate Tex Winter, because as a kid growing up, there was a few, hey, I didn't know the preamble, but I know who Tex Winter was. You know what I'm saying? I'd have a tough time on the Constitution test, but the Doberman defense and everything. And listen, growing up a Bulls fan, there are certain names that you had to have ingrained in you, and Tex Winter is one of them. So happy birthday to the late, great Tex Winter. And Jerry Reinsdorf, man, I mean, undoubtedly the greatest owner in this city's history in terms of major sports teams. Undoubtedly. Seven championships. It's a simple. Rob, why are you smiling? Give me the smile. Why are you smiling?
Well, I'm smiling because I'm plotting to, at the end of this, wish my mom a happy birthday because it's my mom's birthday.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, come on. Talk about burying the lead. Come on.
Mama Schaefer.
I don't know. I think she listens to every other one of these things, and I don't know if she makes it 45 minutes in, but yeah, she's joined Bulls lore today.
What's your mom's name? Well, this, hey,
should I not have told you that?
No. Cut it out. Splice this part up, Tone. So, Schaefer, happy birthday to you. Hoping that your day is amazing, and that we hope that you understand the gift that you have bestowed upon not only us, but this world in Rob Schaefer. He is an up-and-coming young talent in this city and nationally, because I get those vibes from my guy, Rob Schaefer. So, Jane, have a fabulous birthday, and Rob can't wait to just – you know, give you all the gifts that his bank account and his heart desires. So there it is. Happy birthday, Jane Schaefer. See? That wasn't bad.
Not bad.
Rob's blushing. He's speechless. I'll save us by saying that you said the Bulls is story. And I went even deeper on my tweet about it. It's not just Jerry Reinsdorf and Tex Winter. It's former Bulls Etuan Moore and Jimmer Fredette's birthday as well.
I can't believe you called out Jimmer. Yeah, that's great.
Put that five on the court right now. I'm calling next. You know what I mean? I'm feeling good with that five on the court.
This is a big day in Bulls birthday history. But I will say, and I think I've said this one other time way back when on the podcast, I spent an entire day one time with Tex Winter, and it's arguably one of my more favorite memories of my career. It was one of those times where you, back in the day, you requested the assistance and they didn't always talk. And he ended up just kind of waving me up to his office at the Berto Center. I don't even know. I can't remember if PR was involved or signed off on it or what have you. And I went up to his office thinking we were just going to talk for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And I was there like the rest of the day. And he's pulling out boxes from underneath his desk of like old game notes and showing me plays that he'd drawn on, you know, cocktail napkins and stuff. It was unbelievable. I mean, I'm like, you know, in my 20s at the time, and I'm just with my jaw on the floor half the time, mm-hmm. trying to act like I'm professional when I'm fanboying the architect of the triangle offense, you know? So that was definitely a fun memory in my career, and just a wonderful, wonderful guy. Just hilarious too. Cranky old sense of humor. You know, people used to tease him for putting sandwiches in his sport coat as he came into the media room, because, you know, child of the great depression, you don't pass up free food.
So, you don't waste foil, you don't waste grease, and you don't pass up food.
Yeah, you know? So fond memories of Tex, and he would have been 99 today, and obviously an important figure in Bulls history. So there you go.
Outstanding. We've had like too many good vibes on this podcast as of late, right? Like maybe like something needs to happen. You
know what I mean? Here we go. Something needs to happen.
And speaking of bad vibes, Tony Gill has rejoined the chat. Gentlemen, management Tony just popped on the Zoom screen as soon as I was saying something bad needs to happen here because we've been too positive as a group. So Tony, explore the next Zach LaVine trade that you've come up with. There you go.
I just came on to say we need a points bet, gentlemen. So,
oh yeah, let's knock this points bet out, Rob. I love that Rob now has been, you know, conditioned with the duties of making sure that our points bet segment is.
It's like the rookie bringing the donuts and carrying the gym bags. He's you can say he's a national star. And he will be, but he's still the young man in the totem pole here. So
I'm gonna need the Jeopardy music on this because I gotta find the.
Hold on, I got you, bro. This is what the marvelous internet will get us where we need to be right
now. They still have not copped to my wishes of putting odds on Thad Young for Sixth Man of the Year. So we can't discuss that yet. But when we do, that'll be my favorite points bet segment of all time.
We could splice in Tony Allen find a waxing poetic about Zach LaVine.
That's a great video. Do you watch that yet, Jason?
I haven't.
You like LaVine?
I love LaVine.
You do?
Yeah, LaVine gave me 30 points one game. A flat out 30 points. I ain't never talked about it, but I respect him.
They got talent on that team, man.
That's
the first time you've ever brought
it up. I respect that. That's a badass yellow boy there. For real. He's a badass yellow boy there, man. Hey, Zach LaVine, man. You's a badass yellow boy, man. For real. I remember we played in Memphis. And look, I'm talking about, I do my routine for every game. I'm doing my little squats, my little sit-ups, my little sprints on the bike. Man, so I had Wiggins at first. Wiggins didn't want no smoke. None whatsoever. I'm telling the bench that too, like, yo, this guy don't want no smoke. I switched on to Zach, and his first three was I'm gonna throw it to the post, but you ain't gonna come out here. And he just wound it up and shot it without even dribbling. I said, okay, all right, now it's time to play. He did it again, came down again, just pulled. Then came down again, hit three threes in my face. I said, oh man, TA, you got a problem. And before you know it, I was like, yo. This kid, he is nice. This is my last game in Memphis. So that was a minute ago. It was before his ACL surgery and all that. But he still bounced back. I like his game. He's playing like he's an alpha male.
You're a LaVine guy.
I'm a LaVine guy.
How about badass yellow boy?
Yeah. He might take that for a nickname. He started killing.
Triple OG said something about Zach?
Oh, it's from a little bit ago. Rob found it on Twitter from the Chris Vernon show from a couple years ago. But hey, I say, like, you want real, genuine, unassailable praise, that if it's coming from Tony Allen, it's legit. And he talks about how way back when we was on the Grizzlies, he was guarding Andrew Wiggins to start the game, and he was like basically, you know, yelling at the Timberwolves bench, like, he doesn't want any smoke. He doesn't want any smoke. He was just shutting them down. And then he switched on to LaVine, and LaVine dropped three straight threes in his eye. And Tony Allen just goes on for about 2 minutes about how much of a Zach fan he is. And this is from a couple of years ago. So Tony Allen on the Zach train early. And like I said, that's you can't touch that kind of praise, because that's a legit guy and a legit defender. So there you go.
And that was October 2019, I think, because Chris Vernon tweeted it back out. I think that's when he said it was from, which is either right at the start or before the start of the 2019-20 season, which is when Zach really had the best season of his career. And now it's turned into this leap this year. So that's high praise back then. I mean, I would love to hear his take on kind of all the stuff that he's doing now. But I do have the points bet page up. I figured we could talk most improved player, because we had thoughts at the beginning of the season that the Bulls might have a candidate for most improved player on this team, especially under the new coach and everything like that, a Lauri Markkanen, a Wendell Carter Jr. But actually I think, and PointsBet seems to think, that Zach LaVine has a decent chance of making headway in that race. Now, he's not the favorite. He's sixth on their odds board right now, behind Jeremy Grant, odds on favorite at -200. Christian Wood next at +275. Both of those make a ton of sense. Jaylen Brown +650. Julius Randle +2000. And then Chris Boucher of the Raptors and Zach LaVine tied at +2500. Jalen's come a little bit back down to earth. I think Jeremy Grant and now Christian Wood has missed time. So I think Jeremy Grant has pretty solidly forged ahead in this race now. Just the production leap that he's made, stepped into that primary offensive role and really, really flourished in it. I know
on the Pistons' record. That they've one of the worst records in the league, but this isn't necessarily an award that is typically predicated on team success. But I definitely think it's justified for Zach to be in the top, you know, 5 to 7 conversation for this award, because you know, you just look at the efficiency leap from last year to this one, the playmaking, and then obviously you probably have to watch it a little bit more for the subtleties of it, but the defensive stuff too, considering how much of a minus he was on that in early his career to now being, to me, you know, still not necessarily an overwhelming plus, but someone that's holding up on that end a lot of nights. And the Bulls are obviously playing well right now. He's been a huge driving force behind that, especially the offensive stuff. So I think that's certainly justified. It certainly cements him as the most improved Bull, which is a debate we had on this pod. I think that's pretty clear at this point, but I definitely still think it's justified to have Jeremy Grant, Christian Wood, Jalen Brown at the top of that conversation.
Yeah, and actually this ties into logic you heard last year surrounding Jason Tatum, is like the hardest thing to do, or one of the hardest things to do, is go from very good to star. And
yeah, and Luka, and yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and that's, you know, Jason Tatum, I think, got a lot of votes last year. So, I can see that a lot. I agree that when I started shaking my head when he first started talking about it, I thought you said he was going to be the favorite. And I was like, no. But because me, Jeremy Grant is the runaway favorite at this point, and Christian Wood is also a good candidate as well. But yeah, that makes sense for him to be on the board and for us to talk about it, because he is making a similar jump from like well-regarded, very good around the league to all-star. And that's what, you know, Jason Tatum did last year. So
and Brandon Ingram, who won the award last year, it's a very similar track to that too.
There you go.
Yeah. The increased opportunity award versus the most improved award, right? Because, you know, guys get an opportunity, you find out how talented guys are, and then some guys who have always had volume opportunity, you see the little changes in their game, and I think that's where you can kind of staple it to Zach and obviously Jeremy Grant and some of these other guys getting, you know, more shots and an opportunity to be more of an offensive focal point. Those are the Christian Wood, like they've gotten increased opportunity, they've gotten more opportunity, but definitely Zach is one of the 10 most improved players in the league because of the little things that he's, you know, we talked about DeMar DeRozan. We talked about it in the offseason. We talked about it last year. That was my thought of, okay, we know you're a scorer, but what's next? And when DeMar DeRozan started to do all the what's next stuff in terms of rebounding and assisting, that's when he took not only that all-star leap, but we started regarding him as one of those second tier players. Which isn't a knock, right? I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys in the NBA who play basketball, but you can get into those top two or three tiers, then you're cooking with gas. And I already think, obviously, Zach is in that top two tier in that situation now. So, yeah, most improved player of the year, probably won't get it, but he should definitely get some votes if people out there who are watching basketball are watching the Bulls. And now, you know, what we're going to get into as we wrap this thing up, guys, we're going to get into the other part of this journey where now people are going to be talking about, because it was faint, like, yeah, get Zach out of there. Now we're going to get on the other side of this where the national guys catch up to, you know, what everybody on the ground floor has been saying. Because for the last year or so, Dwayne Wade and some of these guys who have been extolling the virtues of Zach, all those mentions will be followed by, yeah, got to get him out of there now. Now, the national guys who are running out of things to talk about, and you can't talk about the Cowboys every single day, or you can't, you know what I'm saying? Now they're going to start to notice, oh, Zach LaVine's an all-star. Chicago is the third market in the country. We need those eyes. Say something crazy about that without having watched a game this year. So get ready for that part two, Bulls fans. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. So that's all I got, fellas. Anything else we need to fill in the blanks on?
Well, I'm going to, and on the Zach, you know, people kind of recognizing what he's been doing for a long time and the potential, you know, of him being in Chicago long-term and them having long-term success with that. I want to throw it to KC because he this morning or late last night was re-promoted again this morning, had a great column on NBCSportsChicago.com about the partnership between Zach LaVine and Billy Donovan and how that could bear long-term for the Bulls. So I definitely want to kick it to KC and get his thoughts on kind of the potential that the season started with, you know, oh man, you know, does Zach fit the timeline? Is the new front office going to look to maybe maximize the quote unquote asset, things like that. But now it's getting to the point where, or it's well past the point, I should say, of, you know, this guy is clearly a guy that can be a foremost piece on a winning basketball team. And he's worth building around long-term. At least I'm there. I think most people, again, like you said, Jason, on the ground are there. So I just wanted to get KC, your perspective on that dynamic.
Do you guys need me to do a points bet anecdote first or not?
Shout out to points out. Shout out to points bet. And thank you to points bet for providing our lines and also giving, you know, their customers the greatest opportunity to spice up their entertainment opportunities during a basketball game or any kind of betting venue. So thank you to points bet sportsbook. Go ahead.
So the point I made is that, you know, to me, last night's game was kind of an opportunity to assess Zach LaVine because you think, okay, first day after he's named an all-star, playing the team that traded him, 4 years since the rebuild, first all-star since Jimmy Butler, and all that stuff's true. But to me, what it more spoke to was here come the Timberwolves rolling into town with Chris Finch in his second game, fourth coach since Zach has been traded. And as we all know, Zach has played for now six coaches in his seventh NBA season in Billy Donovan. Guess what? Billy Donovan isn't going anywhere. He signed a big money long-term deal, and he's really good at his job. And Arturis Karnišovas loves him. And so, hey, here's a chance for Zach LaVine, who's already ascending and is well-documented, someone that is coachable, accepts coaching, looks inward, works with whatever you give him, no matter if it's somebody he respects or maybe doesn't respect as much. Here's an opportunity to pair a guy with a really competent professional coach, and let's see where this goes. To me, it's just another argument of why you extend this guy. Now, it's easy for me to spend the Reinsdorf's and Arturis Karnišovas' money, right? I'm a beat writer. But right. I will just say, if you trade Zach LaVine, and the people I talk to around the league, I'm talking to executives that I know around the league, make it clear that that's not on the table this year. Obviously, things can change, you know, in the next 4 weeks. But right now, the word around the league is that Zach isn't going anywhere. So my thing is, now you don't have to do it this summer. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But my thing is, why not build around this guy who's going to be 26 later this year, obviously now an all-star, and is with a coach that is just going to get him better. And that partnership is really, really off to a strong start. So to me, it's just another argument of why, and I already planted my flag on the extend Zach thing about a month ago with a column, but I just looked at it more as, hey, here's a long-term pairing that really, really can take off. Clear respect from flowing from both sides. And hey, Zach LaVine has got to this level with a lot of coaching instability, a lot of coaching instability. So here's going to be some coaching stability from a guy who gets it, is good at his job. Let's see where this goes. So there's my Zach LaVine, Billy Donovan sermon, and you can read more about it at NBCSportsChicago.com.
Hot damn! That's hey, listen, I don't know if you can end a podcast better than that. And I got to go start to prepare lunch for my child. So with that being, yes, and it does take me an hour to prepare lunch for my child. For anybody that's listening, like, damn, didn't they say it's the morning time? How long is it going to take? Yeah, my guy, the lunchable phase is coming to an end for some reason. I was hoping I'd ride it out to about 8-9, but it's coming to an end. So, fellas, like any other final thoughts? We got Casey's column. Rob, you got anything for the people to be looking forward to, or are you just sitting around being awesome and editing and doing all the great things that you do for NBC Sports Chicago?
We're chugging along. I posted something this morning as we're taping. If you hadn't read it by the time we come out tomorrow on the stuff we talked about earlier in the podcast about you know, Billy Donovan's uplifting yet challenging leadership style and how the Bulls are buying into that and how things are going pretty well right now. And then, yeah, just stay tuned to the website. You know, the end of the first half of the season is coming up, which means KC and I will be diving into some retrospective, some look forward thinking stuff. It's an exciting time to kind of get into the weeds with Bulls basketball. So we'll be all over that in the coming weeks. So NBCSportsChicago.com, my team's app for all that.
And real quick, if we benefit to you wrapping this up and getting to your kids' lunch is also if we wrap it up. No, if we wrap it up really quick, we avoid management Tony coming back in. So
Yeah. All right, let's get up out of here. Management Tony is he's taking care of the more important podcasts right now. So management Tony's his screen just has him in a very finely tailored blazer and headphones on. If you can't see it right now because you're listening, it's just his profile picture. So he hasn't been here for the entire podcast until I said that something bad needs to happen. So we're going to get out of here before something bad happens again and he jumps back in our Zoom. So for everybody out there, thank you so much for listening to the Bulls Talk podcast. We will catch you later. We hope you enjoy the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and your smart speakers. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us because you know you love us. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning, or we might have an emergency pod for you, so stay tuned for that as well. But as always, take care of each other and be safe.